And now, live from the Rowe Auto Group Westbrook Auburn Studios, it's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5.
You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. So yesterday, Wallet Hub, which is an organization that I follow, they do extensive research. They put out a new listing, a new ranking of the highest tax burden states in the country. Right now, Maine is ranked fourth overall in the country. The tax burden as a percentage of income is 10.74%. That's the overall tax burden in the state of Maine. It's fourth in line behind Vermont, which leapfrogged us at 11.12%, Hawaii, which is 11.80%, and New York, which is at 12.02%. Part of what makes Maine's tax burden so onerous is that we are literally number one in the country in property tax burden. Now, this comes at a time after Governor Mills has hailed the idea that she met the referendum requirement from about 18 years ago to fund public education at 55% of the cost, which means the state has poured massive amounts of money into local budgets, local town budgets, which are largely driven by the cost of schools. They have received millions and millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars more than they were receiving previously. At a time when Maine school enrollment, public school enrollment, is dropping dramatically. Many children are now being homeschooled because families no longer trust the public education system because it's become as much of an indoctrination camp as it has been in a place of education. Many families have placed their children at great personal expense because, keep in mind, they continue to pay the full freight on property tax while sending their children off to a private school. Again, because the schools have become as much an indoctrination camp as they have a place of education. The entire purpose of the public education system in this country was to properly educate and prepare our children to be the citizens of the future. It started in Boston. And what have we done with it? Once again, because the people of this state have stood down, the elected despots and the people who run the school and are paid exorbitant salaries to do so have chosen not to properly educate and prepare the children to be the future citizens and leaders of this country. We have taken American history and tried to destroy it. We don't teach civics. We're not even properly teaching our children how to read with comprehension, as you know, because I've talked about it extensively here. Sixth graders in the state of Maine have the lowest reading comprehension in recorded state history. Again, after hundreds of millions of dollars have been poured into the public education system. And keep in mind the entire point of that referendum from roughly 18 years ago. If you remember riding around, vote yes on one, a 15% property tax cut. Because most of the districts in the state stepped forward and the school boards voted on a petition that said, if the 55% threshold is met, we would return the money to the taxpayers so that they got a break on the cost of education. And not a single school district who passed a resolve has done so. So Maine now stands at number one. Not number one in opportunity. Not number one in economic freedom. Not number one in education. But number one in the percentage of your pay that goes to property tax. And yet what we hear from the people who have chosen to do this to us is how much they care about us and how worried they are about the downtrodden. Worried about our seniors who are being driven from their homes due to the cost of the rising property taxes. These are the same people that don't take care of our infrastructure, that need Taj Mahal buildings every so often because the buildings they were previously in weren't properly cared for. And they try to adopt a California-style government and philosophy when that state is failing worse than ours. Our neighbor to the west, New Hampshire, is prospering. Their people are prospering. The percentage of their pay that they earn is the second lowest in the country that's taken out in taxes, which means the incomes that they earn, which are much higher than Maine's, they get to keep more of it and put it in the bank, their own bank, not in the bank of the state of New Hampshire. Their governor is a governor who believes in freedom. Their governor is a governor who believes that people ought to self-determine and that the legislature's best job is to get out of the way. And because he has followed the great tradition of live free or die in New Hampshire, they have among the highest per capita incomes. They are second lowest in the country. And the percentage of their people that live and dwell in poverty is the lowest in the country. Chris Sununu, who is the governor of New Hampshire, will be joining us in just a moment. And we're going to talk to him about how he continues to do what he's done. He is leaving office after 8 years. He's chosen to give up the trappings of power, something most people don't do. He understands that government service is a temporary time in your life. It's not a career. And I look forward to what he has to say this morning. It's hard to believe we have come to this point. But the Maine House of Representatives yesterday voted to take your freedom. And you may think that's dramatic, and you may think that's not true, but it's because you're ignorant. Or you're an ideologue. The fact of the matter is, when a legislative body decides that they know better how you should vote than you do, they have stolen your freedom, they have stolen your voice. That's what they did in the Maine House of Representatives yesterday. And it looks like the Maine Senate will follow suit. They have a 22-13 lead in the Maine Senate, and the last time they voted on it, it was a 22-13 yes vote. So the Maine legislature believes that they know better than you do on how this beautiful state that God gave us and the ancestors, generations of ancestors prior to us, preserved and protected. The Maine legislature knows better than you do on how your vote should be cast for the President of the United States of America, the most powerful position on the planet. If you think that's not taking your freedom, you're not paying attention. All right, we're going to move on. New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu is joining us. Governor, thanks for being with us again. We really very much appreciate it.
You bet. I'm sorry to hear about your Maine legislature. That's got to drive you crazy, man.
Yeah, you have no idea how sorry I am. You have no idea how sorry I am.
Well, we have a lovely house over here on Squam Lake. I could put you in, Ray. You and your staff, we just come on right over the border. We got we love your airwaves. We're all big fans of your show here on the Seacoast, so you do very well here. I don't know what to tell you. We all have choices. We all have choices.
We do have choices, Governor. You're absolutely right, and it's a very enticing choice. But all of my life, I have been somebody who thinks that other people should not be able to run over those who are less fortunate than I am. So I've always tried to stand up for them in action and in word.
You do it well. You do it well, my friend, to be sure. So,
I was just looking at a new study by Wallet Hub. I know I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's one you should be proud of. New Hampshire has the lowest tax burden in the second lowest tax burden in the country.
Well, next to Alaska, but they don't count. They have all that oil revenue,
right.
I count it as like 1A, 1B. So we'll take that.
Well, you know, that's a very good point, because the Alaskan pipeline has certainly provided the Alaskan people with the ability not to be overcharged in taxes. And so that's a good point. That's an asset that New Hampshire doesn't have.
No, we just have our cunning skill and lack of taxes. Again, lack of government, right? We have enough government. We don't have too much. We keep it as super efficient. I think we're also ranked as, you know, number one in most efficient government in the country, or like I think they call it best return on your tax investment. So with combining the lowest taxes with getting the best programs for your buck, I'm super proud of it. I really am, because it's not just me. It's just kind of setting that tone. That you know, individuals come first, communities come first, not government.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think at the core of all of that, and I know some of your state representatives. In fact, some of them have been guests on this station, and they all seem to have one fundamental belief that they share, regardless of political party, and that is a belief that free people ought to live free.
Yeah, live free or die, right? Not just four cool words on a license plate. It really, we try to really instill it into here. And, you know, I say all the time, I know Maine's having a tough time politically, especially Boston is just getting rocked because they have this anti-business, nutty mayor. The governor's, you know, not doing much better. You know, people are leaving Vermont. But it's not good. Like, I know we're growing in population in New Hampshire, and we're, you know, very economically successful. But we want all of New England to be successful, don't we? Like,
of course.
We want Boston to be a great economic driver for the Northeast. That actually helps Maine. It helps New Hampshire. Helps all of us. And we're not going in that direction. So I'm a huge believer. Rising tide floats all boats and all that. And I think we're doing well here in New Hampshire. I just, on energy, on the opioid crisis, on all these interconnected systems that we have across New England, we all need to be successful. And so I'm hoping there's some change policy-wise. And, you know, and the policy change isn't drastic that Maine and Massachusetts need right now. The policy is very simple. Individuals come first, not government. Right? Individuals have the best solutions for their communities. Parents have the best opportunities for their kids in schools and working with teachers and working collaboratively to find the best solutions and pathways for the kids. It's not hard, guys. And if you do that, you need less government. You empower more people to get involved with the system. You empower locals to get involved with the homeless crisis that you're dealing with in Portland. You empower individuals to get involved locally with their veterans who need better services or whatever it is. It's not that the government just walks away. We provide the right guidelines, some resources, some backstop services, but let individuals and communities drive the solutions. And if you start there, I'm telling you, a whole world of difference. And let businesses be successful, right? Push yourself. How do I make that business successful? Because if the business is successful, those families are successful, the wages go up, everything works. And then businesses want to be there, and population comes back, and workforce comes in. It's a chain reaction of positive stuff. So less government, you know, focus on the business side of things, and things will really start to click.
My friend Les Auden, as you know, is seeking to revive the Balsam Resort up in northern New Hampshire. I spoke with him the other day. He called, and part of what we talked about was your attitude and how your attitude is to be an ally in these efforts, not to be an adversary. Maine, unfortunately, has chosen a governor and chosen a legislature in the majority that seeks to be an adversary of the people of the state and an adversary to business. Les has said that every step of the way, whenever he's needed government to be involved, whether it's permitting or what it is, you all have done everything you can to make the process easy for him. It's not easy to revive that resort, but it looks like they're going to have some really good news for it here very quickly. And I just thought I would share with you on the air how much he thought of you.
Let me tell you, Les has been incredible. Les has taken on, I mean, that is not an easy project. The Balsams is I think, going to be an amazing, amazing project, revitalizing it. It's no small feat. He's, Les Sutton, there's nothing no challenge he backs down from, God bless him. He's put his money where his mouth is. He's investing. He's got an incredibly good strategic plan. And when you see someone come in like that, from the state perspective, you go, what do we do to get out of the way, fast track the permitting, make sure that they can raise the money, do what they need to do on the private side so that they're never going to an investor, they're never going to a partner, to a contractor and saying, well, I got to slow down because I got to wait for the government. We never want to be in that position. We always want to try to stay two steps ahead. It's not perfect. It's not easy. But you get Environmental Services, Department of Transportation, infrastructure folks, whatever they need to move things along so they understand the rules, regulations, and process. But we're doing our part to move things fast. That entices businesses go, oh, I want to invest there. I want to put my dollars there because I know I can get a return. I don't get caught up in 5 to 10 years of litigation and a mess. They know that they can put their money down and start putting shovels in the ground, the right way and smartly. So he's done a great job up there. He's taken on a tough project, but yeah, my hope is that pretty soon we get some. He's always building towards something a little bigger, and I just think it's going to be phenomenal. He has so much land; it's so beautiful, and it is just absolutely ripe for a great kind of North Country market.
Yeah, there's no question about it. My friend Brad Dyer, who lives here in Maine, but he operates out of Berlin, New Hampshire, he has said the same thing about you and the team and the people in New Hampshire. Again, not wanting to be in the way, working together on when they need to. And if there are rules that need to be worked out, that New Hampshire works it out. My only point here for all of this is, and I know the liberals in the state will say, Ray, why don't you move to New Hampshire? The point is, why should Maine people have to be depressed? Why should Maine have to have an economic depression going on here? Janet Mills has grown the government to $11 billion every 2 years. We need a GDP in the state of Maine that's $110 billion to generate the taxes that would fund that government. We funded it so far with COVID proceeds. We have a GDP here of $84 billion. We need a lot of growth here. And I wanted people to hear you, Governor Sununu, talk about how New Hampshire has had this economic miracle.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's not incredibly hard. It's first you got to go out and promote, right? So New Balance. New Balance is in Boston. Jim Davis, great owner, said, look, we're looking to build a couple new factories. I literally go down. I meet with Jim. Him and his team come up. I go with them on sites. You got to do the groundwork, And when they see not just the governor showing up, but my economic development team, we walk sites with them. We find real estate with them. And when they see that the folks at the most upper level are involved in their details, they feel empowered by it. And it's a simple thing, but, man, I'm shocked that more governors don't do it. I just give people my cell number. That's it. I have one cell phone. I pick it up. It's in my pocket. I don't have like six cell phones and my staff is. One cell phone, one number. The number's on the internet, for goodness sakes. I'm sure everyone in Maine's going to be calling me later today, but that's fine. But that's it. And so accessibility to government. It isn't just limited, but accessibility. So when there is a problem, they can pick it up and not just call me. They call their state senator. They call their local councilor in their city. They call their state rep, whatever it is. They build personal relationships with the departments, and I push my commissioners to build personal relationships. And then, the businesses say, well, we're going there. Because, A, it's a great deal. Our employees, it's a place that's growing with staff. Our employees are going to, the enterprise value to the employees, when you look at sales tax and income tax. I mean, everyone that moves from Maine and takes the same job in New Hampshire, everyone gets a 6% raise on day one. Think of it that way, right?
Yeah,
and
no.
Then the cost of living is less, and then you don't have the sales tax on top of that with every dollar that you spend, yada, yada, yada. So that is the best hedge on inflation that you can provide. America is getting crushed by Biden's inflation. We all know that, right? So what's the best hedge I can give? Well, I'm not going to tax you on top of that. Biden's screwing you over. You're a low-income family. You're a middle-income family just trying to you know, make that next step up. Biden's crushing with inflation. Come to New Hampshire. I'm not going to crush you with taxes. I'm going to let you keep that extra 10%, and that offsets the pains. When you're in a place like Maine, Massachusetts, New York, my God, you're getting quadruply crushed between the taxes, the fees, inflation, cost of living. It's absolutely brutal. At the end of the day, you literally have nothing left. And what I found is people get used to it. They get used to they get complacent with mediocrity. You don't have to live like that. You can live in a place like New Hampshire or Florida or Texas or Tennessee or any of these other great states that are out there that provide economic opportunity to people. Don't get complacent. We're in a whole new world where if you're not happy, you can get up and move. Now, Ray, you are loyal to the teeth to Maine. I love that. I stand by your loyalty, and you're fighting to make Maine better, and that's what you definitely need. But understand there's a lot of young families out there that just want better economic opportunity for their kids. And so that's what we're effectively providing here in New England. It isn't hard. It isn't rocket science. It's about making sure that as a governor, as the head of government, it ain't about the government. It ain't about me. Yeah. It's all about those individuals. And when you empower them, there's a very positive feedback loop that comes from that. So that's it.
No, you're absolutely right. We're talking New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu. You're absolutely right. And just so people understand, it's not just about the upper end of your economy. On the lower end, you have the lowest percentage of poverty of your people of any state in the country. This is a philosophy. You said it right out of the gate. Ronald Reagan said it. Other people have said it. But a rising tide lifts all boats. It lifts the dinghy and the yacht.
That's right. So, I talk a lot about having the lowest poverty rate in the country is hard. It's not an easy, but we do it. And people come up and say, we need to raise the minimum wage. Now, we have the lowest minimum wage in the country. It's not about that. It's about a free market. It's about competition, inviting businesses in. Guess what? The wages naturally go up. We have very high wages here, incredibly high wages, because the market, the free market, works. And look, I'm a Milton Friedman guy, if you go way back to it. That guy really had his act together, and I think, everyone in U.S. Congress should take Milton Friedman lessons. Not that they would ever listen to him, because, it's not in their political interest to do so sometimes. But, Friedman said something about Congress that I love. He said, you have good politicians and bad politicians. And people say, well, if we just got more good politicians in office, it would all work out. Understand that, unfortunately, and he said this, you're always going to have bad politicians for one reason or another. The trick is this. You need to create the right incentives that incentivize bad politicians to do the right thing. And if you create that kind of system, you can get positive results. So it isn't just, well, let's just elect the right people, because I'm a big believer in that. But even when you don't elect the right people, if you have a right system that creates the right positive incentives to force them to do the right thing. Now, we don't have that right now. In Washington, we have a system that incentivizes extremists to do extreme things and then raise money off of that, right?
Right.
I think
with
campaign finance reform alone, could severely, help manage that process. But if you create the right positive incentives and taking that mentality here in New Hampshire with our government, how do I incentivize? I got great commissioners, but how do I incentivize them to make sure they're getting out there? They have a customer service mentality. Hi, we're from the government. We're not calling to penalize you. We're just calling to see how we can help, right? I push my Department of Labor. That's typically a department that fines companies for bad labor practices or whatever it might be. But I also have pushed them to be very customer service focused. Hey, how can I help you guys? I'm just calling. No issues at all. Your business X, how can we help you? Do you understand the system? If you need anything, give us a ring. So we're always doing kind of proactive calls out to individual companies and communities to say, we are here if you just have a question about something, because we'd rather have you ask us the question than get yourself into trouble. And again, that kind of outreach, just that goes viral around the business community, and it just helps people want to be here.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's so interesting what you just said about how your Department of Labor just checks in. They're not here to cause any problems. In Maine, we have just started this. You won't believe it or not. The Department of Labor now is going and getting into the orifices of every business, not because there's been a complaint about illegal labor practices, but now they just want to go in and investigate you to see if maybe you're violating something. Even though there has been no complaint. complaint, no nothing. And I want everyone to understand what you're talking about here. And I can summarize it like this. New Hampshire household incomes are $19,312 greater than Maine household incomes. That alone should say we should be adopting the New Hampshire model for governance, not the California model we're trying to adopt.
Oh, boy, California. Ray, I lived in San Francisco for like 3 years, in 2000 to 2004, something like that. And, it's a great city, and it's got great people. And to see where that place has gone in 20 years, it had its troubles 20 years ago. But to see where it has gone, it literally, I was there about 4 months ago, it literally almost brought me to tears. Because where they always had, some homeless problems and some drug problems, you now have these open-air drug dens. It is such a lack of humanity. It is a lack of care for those individuals. And by the way, you can't blame a single Republican for any one of those policies that has driven that place into the ground. That is a model of complete failure of liberal policies. Don't ever tell me, don't everyone ever come up to me and try to explain to me how Democrats care about people more, how their policies care about the homeless, how they can, better affect change for those struggling with mental health and folks in the drug crisis. You go to California and you tell me that their policies have any benefit whatsoever. It's disgusting has happened there.
You're absolutely right.
When I hear that Gavin Newsom thinks about running for president, I throw up in my mouth a little bit. My God, it's insulting that somebody would come out of that state and say, don't worry, we're going to run the rest of the country like this. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And I get upset about, I don't get too passionate about things, but man, I get upset about when I think about California, because through all their opportunities, they got Hollywood. They got Silicon Valley. They got agriculture. They got tourism. They got the ports. Right, which are multi-billion dollar endeavors. They've got all the top five things that any state would kill for, and they're still screwing it up. $100 billion deficit just this year.
It's extraordinary.
Billion.
They have the fifth largest economy in the entire world, and it's still not enough. Governor, I promised Ben I would get you out, so I just want to say two things. I would love to have you on my podcast because it would give us more of a chance to talk about the economic miracle of New Hampshire, hoping more Mainers might adopt it, and because you're just a hell of a good guy.
Thanks, man. Look, I always love coming on. I love Maine. We got to be New England strong, not just New Hampshire strong. England strong, and if we can do anything to help folks up there and provide a little bit of a turnaround for the rest of New England, whatever we can do to help. We're not perfect by any means, but it can work. Whatever it is, government, the right form of government, the right freedoms, the right principles of putting businesses and individuals first, it really, really does work. It's not some sort of theory. Proven model right here, and we just want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity across the Northeast.
Well, I can tell you how you could help the most if you really, really wanted to. You could become our governor.
I've 8 years and 4 terms is about enough for me, my friend. Maybe down the road.
Make a little private sector money. I don't blame you for that. Governor, as always, great to have you on. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Be good.
It is 9:34. This WMTW Channel 8 newscast sponsored by the all-new Red City Ale House, Route 202 in South Windham. Find out more.